Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
If he ever brought you out, would you clap your hands? If he ever picked you up, would you clap your hands? We said, clap your hands, all ye people. Oh, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, I'm going to go to work. Amen. Matthew 15, 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. How many people have ever felt like praying that prayer? But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. If you believe in miracles, would you clap your hands? Amen. You can be seated. Man, what a story. A story of determination. A story of not letting go. There are so many instances, Shane, in the Bible about where we need to persevere, where we need to hold on. It was Jacob that would say during the wrestling match with the angel, I won't let go until you bless me. There's something to be said about persistence. Water doesn't cut through the rock because it's strong. It cuts through the rock because it's persistent, because it keeps running. It's if we knock, he'll open. If we seek, then we will find. There's something to be said about this story. This woman comes to Jesus knowing that she is a Gentile and knowing that he is the son of David, understanding that there is a separation between them. But she came with a need nonetheless, and she knew that he was capable of meeting that need. I want to tell you something. There are some needs that only God can fix. And you can talk to a lot of people, but there are some things that only God can do. Amen. She comes to him and she asks, I need help. I need help. And he ignores her, but he ignoring her did not stop her. The truth is, sometimes we pray prayers, and when we don't get the answer right away, we stop praying the prayer. But there's something to be said about somebody that will keep praying the same prayer. They told me one time, when you pray a prayer, just pray it once and leave it alone, because if you pray again, that's unbelief. I'm saying if I keep asking and I keep asking and I keep asking, it's because I believe that one day he's going to answer what I'm asking. So my faith keeps on praying. It was Daniel that didn't pray one time a day or two times a day, three times a day. Why don't just pray once and leave it alone? He said men ought to pray and not faint. What faint means is give up. You gave up too early. early. You stop too soon. You got to keep knocking, knowing that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think by the power that works in us. We serve a God who isn't just able. He's more than able, and he didn't make you a conqueror. He made you more than a conqueror. Keep knocking. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep pushing. We quit too soon. I think sometimes we prayed for answers and somebody came and laid their hands on us and gave us a word from God and we didn't know what they were talking about because he was answering a prayer we prayed months ago. We forgot what we was praying for because we give up too soon. I hate to be ignored. Anybody? You ever talk to somebody and they just... smack you. Man, being ignored is a tough thing to deal with. You ever been in a debate, a lively debate with your spouse? And you say something and they, oh, help me, Jesus. She comes to Jesus. To Jesus. To be ignored by you is one thing. To be ignored by love is another. The very expression of God, the express image of God, God in flesh, is standing there in front of you and you say something and he don't answer her a word. It would have been very easy to give up at that moment. It would be very easy to stop asking at that moment. But this woman had faith. And let me tell you what faith does. Faith doesn't stop the first time that it gets ignored. Faith doesn't give up the first time that it reaches a bump in the road. Faith doesn't stop just because it doesn't come quickly. Faith keeps pushing through. He said, I've not seen this kind of faith in this woman. Oh, ye woman, she had great faith. Don't give up. Man, if I can tell you something today, don't give up. Don't give up. She was a dog, Andrew. A dog. A dog. A dog. However you want to say it. She was a dog. And he looked at her and not a word. But she kept crying out. He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice the difference. They are sheep. She is a dog. They are sheep. They have a shepherd. They have somebody to look after them. Let me put it like this. She's a stray. Nobody wants to take her in. He was sent to the sheep of Israel. But then verse 25, things change. She came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Conversation goes on. It's not meet for me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She said, truth, Lord. Yet dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Brother Eddie preached a message years ago. The same ingredient that is in the bread is in the crumb. The same thing that the bread is made out of, the crumb is made out of. The same thing that came to them, the same thing that was made possible for them has been made possible for us. Thank God that one day Jesus turned to the dogs, and now we as Gentiles have been grafted in to the vine. And the same thing that Abraham's seed is entitled to, I am entitled to by rebirth. I've been born into the family of God. Thank God. Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee. As I was reading this, Randy, I began to think about a man named Caleb. We read about Joshua, we read about Caleb, and we read about 10 other spies that we don't know any of their names. Name me one of the other spies. Nobody. Is there a Joshua here? Where's Joshua? There's a Joshua. There's a Joshua. Is there a Caleb here? Raise your hand, Caleb. Where? Back there, there's a Caleb. But there's none of them other dudes. Because you don't name your kids after losers. You don't name your kids after people that come back and say, we can't do it. Moses sent him out to spy out the land. And Joshua gets plenty of FaceTime throughout the whole scripture. So I want to talk about Caleb for just a minute. You get plenty of FaceTime. Caleb. Caleb comes back. And if you don't know the story, you need to take a second to read it. Caleb comes back. And Jewish history says that it was Caleb. This is Jewish history. This is not in your Bible, but I want to share this with you. Jewish history says that it was Caleb that said, let's take the fruit back and show them. They didn't want to show them what was in front of them. They wouldn't want to show them what was possible. But Caleb said, no, I want to show them. I want to show. Jewish history says it was Caleb that spoke up and said, let's take the fruit back so they can see what's out here. And the others struggled with the idea, but they agreed and they come back. And the Bible says that they cut the grapes and a bunch of grapes took two men to carry. They come back. Listen, that's a lot of grapes. I can carry a bunch of grapes. Amen? When it's grocery time, how many of y'all do this? When it's grocery time, I don't care if the circulation is cut off in my hands. I got bags hanging everywhere, and I'm going to get them all in one trip. Too many steps. I'm going to make it. If there's a bottle of water or a pack of bottle of water, those are difficult. I've had them rip. But I'm going to try to get it off. And I can carry a lot of grapes. But two men to carry one bunch of grapes? That's some big grapes. He began to bring in the blessing and what, and he wanted to show them something. The things that we have heard, the promises of God are real. They're real. See, when you don't believe they're real, it's hard to hold on and keep trying to push forward. But when you believe they're real, it gives you motivation to press into it. Can I get a witness? He comes back and they show him the fruit of the land. It's Caleb that everybody begins to talk. And the Bible says Caleb stilled all the people before Moses. It was Caleb that stepped up. And I want to let you know, Caleb at this time was 40 years old. And he said this, let's go up at once. No hesitation. Don't even count the cost. Don't worry about it. I already know that we're able. Let's do it right now. Let's not talk about it. Let's not think about it. The reason is the Bible said that Caleb followed God wholly, completely. He followed God. There is a difference between people that follow God with half-hearted effort and people that follow God wholly. Amen. Let me say it like this. It's very difficult to follow God when you're not committed. It's very easy when you get committed and you get determined and you get fascinated. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Let me preach a minute. When you get fascinated with him, it's not as hard to follow after and press in to what he's asked you to press into. When you follow after God easy, it's hard. But when you follow after God hard, it's easy. As the deer panteth for the water brook, my soul longs for his presence. That's a vast difference than when I'm just trying to make it. Caleb, let me read you the story so you'll know. Joshua 14. I start with verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. You hear what was in his heart? Let's go up at once. We can do this. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Moses swear on that day, saying, surely the land whereon my feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Let's add that up real fast. He's 85 years old. Listen to this. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war. Listen to this. Both to go out and to come in. No, you got to catch this. This man was following after God, and his strength remained the same. There is a direct correlation into how much strength you have and the proximity you are to Jesus. The closer you are to Jesus, the more strength you have. He said, I look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. My strength is not within myself. My strength is in the one who called me, who saved me, who brought me. And when I look to him and I give my strength, I'm here to tell you, I don't care how long the trial has been going. You got the same strength if your strength is in him. Now, the way they usually spin this sermon, Doug, is this is a message for Grandparents' Day. I don't care how old you are, go get your mountain. That makes good preaching. But here's the problem. Some of us have been in trials for quite a while, even if we aren't that old. We've been praying for God to move for something for a while. And let's be honest, sometimes our strength begins to grow a little weak. Christians mad at Jesus. You look at me funny, but we've all got a little frustrated sometimes. I've wanted God to do something, and he didn't do it the way I wanted him to do it. Or something happened, and it's so easy to blame it all on God. Amen? The problem is sometimes it's our proximity to where we are to him that causes us problems. Can you say amen? See, when we talk about distance from God, we are not talking, when we're talking about being far from God or away from God, we are not talking about distance. We are talking about likeness. Because when somebody gets far from God, it means they are unlike God. The closer you get to God, the more you will be like God. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you will think like Jesus. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you will act like Jesus. The closer you get to Jesus, the more power you will possess like Jesus. So it's about likeness. The more, let me tell you this, you're never going to get the power of God unless you first get the love of God. You are never going to get the ability of God unless you first think like he thinks. We've said it for years. Some of y'all would be dangerous with the power of God. These poor workers up here at the bridge would no longer be with us. Because some of y'all would have blasted them. Out there with the little kiddie pool trying to pull concrete. Power of God will never show up without the love of God. It can't work any other way. Caleb, even though he was, I cannot imagine being Caleb. At the very onset, let's go in, let's go in, let's go in. But because of an evil report, the wanderings take place. Because of an evil report, you are wondering for time that you should not be wondering. You should already be possessing. How patient he must have been. Something about he just kept moving forward, knowing that they were capable, knowing that they had enough, but yet still being held back for year after year after year after year. And here we find him 45 years later, He is standing in the promised land. Man, this is so good. Let me preach to you. Don't give up. Don't give up. It might not happen today, but don't give up. It might not happen tomorrow, but don't give up. You may feel like he's ignoring you right now. Don't give up. Like that woman kept, oh, but the dogs can eat from the master's table. Don't give up. I know it's for the sheep, but I want it for me. Don't give up. Even though it doesn't come quickly, wait for it. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. Though the vision doesn't come quickly, wait for it and hold on and wholly follow God. I think about him wandering through the wilderness and he's still loving the Lord, loving God. I'd be so aggravated at those 10. Here we are wandering around in the wilderness because of you goons. Don't go to sleep tonight. How aggravating that would be. But he kept serving God. Kept serving God. I don't know how long you've been praying for God to do it. Just keep praying. Keep serving him. Because there's going to come a day when you stay close enough, your strength will remain. See, God has grace that we don't know of. God's able to strengthen us when we don't even know how we're being strengthened. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? See, the world doesn't understand because we don't play by the same rules that the world plays by. There are trials that I can go through and still sing my song, not because the trial isn't any less difficult, but because I've got a God that I know is going to bring me through. I can count it all joy when I enter into divers temptation, not because of the trial, but because I can see through the trial and know that my God is able to strengthen me through it, and I won't give up. I won't turn back. I won't back down because I know that the same God that put me in it is going to bring me through it and get me to the other side. And when I come forth, I'm going to come forth like gold. The woman was a Gentile. Jesus. I heard a preacher say this the other day, Christian, it really interests me. When he preached, he called Jesus Yeshua all the time. He never called him Jesus. And he said, when you change languages, everything changes but your name. So if you went to France, you would be Thomas. If you went to German, you'd be Thomas. If you went to Mexico, you'd be Thomas. But for some reason, he said Jesus' name, Yeshua, is changed to English, Jesus. Why do we change his name? Yeshua comes from Joshua, and it means Savior, salvation, right? Just interesting fact. So if I could start calling him Yeshua, just understand. Just remember Thomas. Remember that and you'll remember why. Because his name is Yeshua, Savior. Same name as Joshua, Savior. Caleb, man, this is so good. I looked up Caleb's name. And you know what Caleb's name means? Anybody? You know what your name means in Hebrew? Dog. Look it up. Look it up. In the Hebrew, it means dog. And I'm like, I'm on to something here. Because if we got Yeshua and we got Joshua and we got a woman dog and a male, there's something going on here. Caleb comes in, his name meaning dog. The Bible says, oh, let me get this. Give me a verse real fast so we know where we're at. Bless him. Okay, verse 13. Ready? Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of whatever, Hebron, for an inheritance. Joshua, the Savior, gave the dog something for an inheritance. What does Hebron mean? You don't know, and I do. That's why I'm excited and you ain't. It's why I get to be the preacher. Joshua, Jeshua, or salvation, gave a dog something for an inheritance. He gave him Hebron. He gave him that inheritance because he would not give up. Because he wholly followed after God. The woman in the New Testament, the dog, got a healing because she would not give up when she was talking to Yeshua. When she was talking to salvation, she wouldn't quit. She kept persisting. Caleb kept persisting. Why? Because Caleb knew the promises of God were real. And at 85 years old, even though he had waited for a long time, his strength remained. And he said, not only do I have the strength. Man, this is so arrogant. This is so arrogant what he says. He says, I got enough strength to go out to war and I'm coming back. Did you catch that? See, because some people got enough strength to get out there. But when they get out there, they ain't coming back. But he said, I've got enough strength to get out there and to come back. Why? Because he knew the promises of God were real. Why did that woman keep knocking? Because she had a need and she knew that he was able to meet those needs and his power was real. I am purposely making you wait to find out what Hebron means because once I tell you, I have to stop preaching. It's the end of the sermon. The word Hebron means seat of association. The word Hebron means the seat of association. Here we go. Hey guys, the word of Hebron means the seat of association. What does that mean? That means that salvation gave a dog a seat of association. Association. He has a seat of association. I better be careful. Yeah, leave me alone. Caleb got to sit in a seat of association. You ever been guilty by association? Anybody been guilty by association? Raise your hand. Anybody been arrested because you were associated? Because you were in proximity, because you're in association, you are deemed equal. Oh, you are guilty by association. See, this dog that went up there and said, I see the promises of God. I know the promises of God are real. See, this is what you got to understand. His daddy came from the land of Canaan. Caleb's daddy came from the land of Canaan. That's really cool. Why? Because when he was grabbing those grapes were in his bloodline. See, you don't think you're entitled to some things because you don't know who your daddy is. I said, sometimes you don't think that the big stuff belongs to you. Well, you don't know how big your daddy is. You don't know how great your father is. You don't even know who you're associated with. But if you keep pressing through, the one who is able will turn around and say, your daughter is made whole because of your faith. Caleb, you get to sit in a seat of association because you didn't quit when everybody else said God couldn't do it. You followed God wholly. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the kingdom. What do you mean? I'm not talking about you being saved. I'm talking about because you are saved. It's a struggle for survival. As we daily meet the foe out there on the the battlefield, you know, sometimes we stand alone. That's when I reach for my holy armor. I pick up my shield of faith. I march on to the battlefield. I take out my sword and I say, well, the mountain is high, but it's not too steep. The battle is rough, but it's not too, I'm not too weak. I won't turn back. Oh, no, no, I won't turn back. The road is hot, but it's not too long. The enemy's near, but he's not too strong. I won't turn back. Oh, no, I won't turn back. Why won't you turn back? Because I know the promises of God are real. I may be a dog. I may just be a dog. But those promises have been made effectual to me by Yeshua. You quit too easy. You quit too soon. Anybody can give up. Anybody can throw in the towel. Anybody can get frustrated. But you know what I found out? It ain't the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. Y'all don't make me go to side three. Do you understand there are some things that are if promises in Scripture? Not salvation, that's a gift. But now you're saved. What are you going to do about it? Tell you what Caleb did. He got there and he said, I'm 85 years old and I want my mountain. I've been waiting for this for a long time. I've dealt with them and had the evil report for a long time. And you know what? Joshua and Caleb are the only ones that got to see the promised land. I said they're the only ones that got to see the promised land. You know why? Because they believed in the promise. You're not going to see the promise. And he said, amen, it really is flowing with milk and honey. And the other said, but they're big. Check out this fruit. Look what's on the other side. But they're so big, we're like grasshoppers. And their hearts melted. You know what? You got to get how do I say this? We live in a melty world. Everybody's so melty. Everybody faints so easy. Everybody gives up so easy. If it doesn't come quickly, we quit. But the people of God aren't melty people. Shane, you looking for a sermon? We ain't melty. Our hearts don't melt every time something comes across the news that doesn't look good, because our hope ain't in politics or world leaders. Our hope is in another kingdom. My heart doesn't melt when it comes to that. I don't melt when it comes to this and it comes to that. Why? Because I have a more sure word of prophecy. I've got something that I'm built on that doesn't melt easy. As a matter of fact, it said it'll never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what I'm built on will never melt. It'll never dissolve. It'll never go away. I'm standing on his word, and on his word I can say this. I can have my mountain. I can have my healing. I can have God deliver. Why? Because he's God. Come on, Aaron. Nudge the person beside you and say, don't be melty. Be careful who you hang around. Some people, when they melt, they want you to melt. Sometimes they tell you stuff and you don't get rattled and they say, did you hear me? I want you to be rattled too. My confidence ain't in that. Y'all know my prayer. If Jesus comes back, I hope he does it on a Sunday. So I don't have to work Monday. Like, man, Jesus, let's make a deal. Don't come back on Wednesday when I'm halfway through the week. Do it before I have to go to work. There's people that don't view it like that. Man, they get rattled. I'm ready, man. I'm as ready as I can. I can't get any more saved than I am right now. I'm washed in the blood, filled with his spirit. I got his name. I don't know what else I can do. I've repented, been baptized in his name, got filled with his spirit. What else can I do? Well, you could act a little better. Well, so could you. A little bit more behavior modification there. We're a work. Don't give up. Don't give up. When you fall down, don't get up. Don't give up. Get up. Jason, 45-year trial. And he didn't lose strength. Man, that's impressive. We lose strength after 45 minutes. 4.5 minutes. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Because salvation has a seat for you. When we talk about seats, we're talking about authority. You hear me? We're talking about authority. You're not going to get that just because you got saved. To the overcomer will I grant to sit with me on my throne. To the overcomer. See, those battles that you are facing, they're not senseless battles. They're for a purpose. And to the overcomer will I grant to sit on my throne. They said, oh, Jesus, will you let my boy sit with you on your throne? Will you let my boy sit? He said, that's not for me to give. Well, if it's not for him to give, then what is it? It's for us to take. How do you take it? Become more than a conqueror. He that hath an ear, let him what the Spirit has to say to the church. Listen up. He's trying to tell you, keep pressing, keep praying, keep pushing. Keep worshiping. When you don't see an answer, keep worshiping. When everybody around you looks like they're melting, just keep praising. Just keep giving him glory. Let's stand if you would. If you can stand, would you stand? If you're a visitor, we do this at the end of every sermon. If you need prayer, would you step out and let us pray with you? We don't want you to leave here the way you came. I don't care what's going on in your life. Prayer will help you. If you need strength, step out. We'll pray for your strength. If you need healing, we'll pray for your healing. Because we believe these things are entitled to us by the promises of God. If you need prayer, help us. Come on, Aaron.